to our president and brother. Almost 2 years ago, Rosemond Winston James, our beloved deceased president and brother in Christ, took up the mantle in the creation of the Holy Family Cathedral Catholic Men's Fellowship. That we are all here today to pay our respects to our fallen brother is a tribute to his leadership skills, his love of God, and a tenacious belief in his Catholic faith. President James was determined to avoid the mistakes of previous attempts to get a Catholic men's fellowship started within our parish. He posited that we should clearly set out our vision, which is to promote family life, closer ties of fraternity, spirituality, and faith as Catholic men, to exemplify peace and justice in our communities, and offer selfless service to the church. Our mission is to build family life through community-based activities and spiritual retreat, to experience closer ties of fraternity through social networking, group prayer, and reflection among ourselves, to promote justice and peace through the development of community-based projects, and to give selfless service to the church. Our motto, steadfast in faith, committed in service. Under his leadership, it was agreed that the group should work towards the realization of the following four categories. Spiritual activities. This involved a structural biblical study group that would explore the Old and New Testaments, and a prayer group modeled after small Christian community grouping that meet regularly to share life experiences. We planned to schedule twice annual retreats. Our most recent was held on February 14th this year. We took part in Eucharistic adoration, and we plan to have lectures on family life and vocations. Our educational activities set in place a strong mentoring program for students of St. Joseph Academy and male students of St. John's Primary, seeking to sponsor health and wellness programs for boys, arrange substance abuse seminars for young men, sponsor contests for Catholic citizenship essays, and establish a scholarship program to assist poor families. Our community activities, support for a Sunday morning meal program, visits to the residents of the boys' training school, and assisting the elderly in our church with home repairs and other such matters. Social activities. Bonding as friends was deemed to be critical if the group was going to be successful. We've planned game nights, cookouts, barbecues, and family picnics for the membership. Brother Rosemond was like the biblical rock upon which the Holy Family Catholic Men's Fellowship was built. He was ever so enthusiastic with everything to do with the fellowship, and I particularly remember Mother's Day 2009. The Men's Fellowship presented a rose and a gift to every mother who attended Mass. The flowers was a real task. We had to trim, wrap, all men of course, trim, wrap, and get them ready to be given out. One can remember how delighted he was when we had achieved the goal stated. Those of us left behind are convinced that Rosemond has left his mark, and our greatest tribute to his memory will be for us to grow the membership and achieve the vision whilst adhering to the motto of our organization. To his family, we pray for God's grace and blessing on you and your time on you at your time of bereavement. To Vanda and Zoe, I say to you that you are not alone, for Rosemond left Jesus and the Holy Spirit to watch over you, and a support team of brothers and sisters who will be ready to be at your service. The entire Catholic Cathedral community is here for you. Do call on us. We are here for you. Thank you. Now we'll have a poem before we go.
Tribute to Rosamund in poem, a poem. Rosamund James, to us you are a brother, with a warm, caring heart, as a loving father, to your child, and as a wife's true lover, with an undying love to serve them forever. Though your desire to serve our community, you offered unselfish service voluntarily. As president of our Men's Fellowship in Unity, you taught us virtues of faith, patience, and humility. Empowered with a vision as an inspirational leader, you listened to every opinion whenever we'd gather. You nurtured dreams of fellowship with each other and quietly committed to mentoring every brother. Though the life you enjoyed was ended quite abruptly, no one could deny it was filled with honor and glory. You always opted for quality over quantity, totally devoted to serving mankind with dignity. Why God has taken you so soon, our dear brother, is beyond our comprehension, beyond reasoning power. But we truly believe it was part of your journey, leaving great footprints as your majestic legacy. With all that you started for this faith community, the fellowship that you nurtured ever so passionately says, now steadfast in faith, committed to service, we pledge to continue the unfinished business. Rest in peace, our brother.
Yes, the void that is left in our faith community with the passing of our brother. But because we believe that life is not ended, simply changed, we know that he is watching us, and we know that he will be interceding for us from where he is with Jesus. We'll call now Mr. Collins Anthony to pay tribute.
Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning, brother.
I want to make special tribute to our Director General, deceased, President of the Men's Fellowship, a fellow countryman, and a very good friend. My tribute is in song and is in Latin. And I will summarize it, the text in English. So on behalf of the ECCA, my own behalf and family, deepest condolences, Vanta, enjoy. The song is entitled Panis Angelicus. The words for Panis Angelicus are from a longer hymn text written by St. Thomas Aquinas in the 13th century. For the newly established Feast of Corpus Christi, Body of Christ. The song is one of reverence for God, represented as a heavenly bread, becoming the bread of men, which nourishes even the poorest and most humble servants. We ask God to visit us and lead us to the light where the Lord dwells. Panis Angelicus.
Thank you.
Anthony Collins. We now call on the Caribbean Aviation Safety and Security Oversight System to pay tribute.
I'd like to apologize firstly for the absence of the chairman of CASOS, Mr. Anthony Archer from Barbados, who unavoidably could not be here today, but he has sent his heartfelt condolences to the families, to the family of Roseman. What can we say about Roseman, who was to us a friend, a consummate professional, a perfectionist, an intellectual, a person who made a tremendous contribution towards the development of civil aviation in the Caribbean. Roseman was also a very dedicated husband and father, husband to his wife, Vanta, and to his daughter, Zoe. Roseman was a person who I became associated with when we started meeting as a body, original body, to establish a harmonized civil aviation body in the Caribbean involving all the CARICOM states. Roseman provided leadership to the formation of that organization, and even when we transformed from what was known as RASOS to CASOS, he played a very key role in the establishment of that organization. He would always volunteer to do work, and when we had to write manuals and so on and we're having some difficulty, he would always offer to do things. He was always that helpful person. But even in the region here, among the OECS states, he made a tremendous contribution, as his colleagues from ECHA would probably tell you, in the establishment of the ECHA itself, and also in all the OECS states attaining FAA Category 1 status. Now, we have been meeting since 2001, and we would meet every 3 months in a different CARICOM state on a rotational basis, and we never met in Haiti. And last November, we decided to accept the invitation of our colleagues from Haiti to host one of our board meetings in Haiti. But Roseman, and he was in Trinidad, and we discussed, I had expressed my concerns about going to Haiti based on security reasons, and we agreed that we would meet in Miami and travel together on the same flight. In fact, he had sent me an email saying, I'm booked on American 880 from Miami to Port-au-Prince, and you ought to book on that flight. But on that fateful day, I decided that I will not go on that flight and change my flight to the afternoon flight. And when he got to Haiti, he called me and he said to me, we are here. And I said, okay, I'll catch up later. And when I got to Haiti together with the second group, I called him to say that we are here. And he always reminded me about my weight problem. And whenever he sees me, he say, Ramesh, you're not losing weight, man. You're getting fatter. But he knew I love food. So he chose to remind me about the barbecue in the hotel that was due to start at 5 p.m. So on our way, together with John Lewis, we're in the same vehicle from CARICOM, the earthquake struck, and the rest is history. But what I want to say is that the events of that day was a very powerful reminder of the fragility of life. And the very thin line, as I said, recently at the funeral of Greg McAlpin, Between Life and Death. And we must therefore fill our hearts with love and light up our lives and cherish the moment as there may never be a tomorrow. And one of the most difficult things for us on that the day after was to leave Haiti without Greg and Rosemann. You know, we were just torn up. I mean, it was really the most heart-wrenching experience that we have ever experienced, those of us who were there. But before we did that, we made sure we visited John Lewis and Tony and others from the Haitian CA, went back to the Montana to make sure that we found them. We were told that about 40 people were taken to the UN hospital. We then went to the hospital. They checked every single bed, and we couldn't see any sign of Greg or Rosemann. And therefore, when you're in a country without any place to sleep, without any security, with food and water running short, then we had to make a very hard decision. And, you know, it was, as I said, very heart-wrenching. So, on behalf of our aviation colleagues, you know, Patrick Rule from the Bahamas, who was there in Haiti, Greg Fox, Nari Singh, Egbert Fields, Cleone Samuels, who is here, and Colonel Oscar Darby, who is also here from Jamaica, Jean Lemarque Pierre, and Mr. Laurent Dumas from Haiti, also here, Margaret Wilson from the UK SSI, who I think is here, Harold Wilson and Mrs. Wilson from the OECS, and Mr. Wilson was the one who actually recruited Rosemann into the then Eastern Caribbean Civil Aviation Department, Mr. Anthony Archer from Barbados, and the chairman of CASUS, Major General Ralph Brown, Francis Regis, Trevor Dorich, and Hema Das, and others from Trinidad, Zulfika Mohammed from Guyana, John Lewis from CARICOM, Vivian Hannenberg and Virgil from Suriname, and our other colleagues from the FAA, TSA, IQ. We offer to Rosemann's very devoted wife, Vanta, his daughter Zoe, who was his life. I can tell you, he never stopped speaking about Zoe. She was his life, she was his everything. And other members of his family, we offer to you our heartfelt condolences. We ask God to give you strength as you, during this difficult period, as you mourn the loss of your loved one. And we also extend these sentiments to our other colleagues, Greg, Siegfried, Oxenio, who also perished at the Montana. To them, we say, may their souls rest in peace. Thank you.
Thank you, my brother, for that recall. It helps us all through the process. And as the family themselves say to us, God is in the midst. He works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. We now call on the Optimist Club of St. John's to pay tribute.
Members of the clergy, fellow optimists, and colleagues in the civil aviation authorities, my name is Oscar Darby. I play a dual role this morning. I'm representing the Jamaica Civil Aviation Authority, and I'm also representing the Caribbean District of Optimist International. Rosemann Winston James joined the Optimist Club of St. John's in 1993, the early days, the early beginnings of the Optimist Club of St. John's. Along with Ricky Nanton, Trevor Simon, Arthur Thomas, and others, they were uncles to many youngsters in Antigua who needed adult care and attention, along, of course, with the many aunties of the club. We remember Rosemann quite fondly. Many of the youngsters of that day, Annie Ben's daughter, for instance, can remember that Rosemann is a person who taught her to use a computer, to serve the internet. Arlan Henry remembers that Rosemann, whenever he travels, he used to bring back CDs for Gloria Estefan, which was his greatest love at that young, tender age. He's now a big man in college and still remembers that. Rosemann met his wife Denvante in the Optimist Club of St. John's. At first, she was a little bit cautious, but when she saw how he performed his duties responsibly and how he cared for children, she thought that this was the perfect prospect for a husband. They were one of the earliest Optimist marriages in the Caribbean district. We loved him. The children loved him. He was the consummate Optimist. When he had to pursue his MBAs, he scaled back his activities. And he also encouraged Envante to do her studies, and they both scaled back their activities in the club. But they never relinquished their contact, and they would continue to participate from time to time in Optimist activities. The governor of the Caribbean district, Jean Douglas, has asked me to convey the deepest condolences of all Optimists from Suriname to Cayman to Nassau, to Denvante, Zoe, and the families and friends of our dear brother, Rosemond James. May his soul rest in peace and light perpetual shine upon him. The Optimist Club of St. John's will now give you a tribute in song.
thank you to the Optimist Club of St. John's for that tribute. And now we call on LIAT 1974 Limited to pay tribute.
Good morning. On behalf of the Chairman and Board of Directors, management and staff of LIAT 1974 Limited, it is a great honor for me to say a few words in tribute to my colleague and friend, Rosemond James. As an officer of what was then the OECS Directorate of Civil Aviation and later the Eastern Caribbean Civil Aviation Authority, or ECA, Rosemond served the regional and international civil aviation community with professionalism, integrity, wisdom, humility, and a sense of direction. He was totally committed to ensuring that civil aviation in our region proceeded with the highest standards of safety and security, allowing the continued development of our economies and allowing our people to fly with the confidence that our airlines, airports, and other aviation infrastructure maintain the required international standards. Working closely with the then Director General, Mr. Harold Wilson, who is here today, and who, as Ramesh Lakshmidiyal has pointed out, is in many ways Rosemond's mentor within ECHO, Rosemond diligently pursued the task of transforming the OECS DCA into ECHO, ensuring that the required legislative, institutional, and technical arrangements existed to satisfy the stringent demands of international civil aviation. I had the privilege of working closely with Rosemond during the early stages of the transition to ECHO. I can testify to Rosemond's quiet dedication to the task of managing the new authority, a responsibility which fell to his shoulders with the early departure to Montreal of Mr. Wilson. Equally strong as his commitment to the professional ideals of his occupation was his commitment to his staff, and he always tried, while cognizant of the financial and other realities of ECHO, to ensure that the requirements and needs of the ECHO staff were advanced or certainly no way interfered with. During my short stay at LIAT, I've had several occasions to have to consult with Rosemond on various matters. He has at all times been knowledgeable and courteous, responsibly performing his duties, while always sensitive and cognizant of the wider socioeconomic realities within which we all operate. He was, in fact, a great supporter of LIAT, recognizing its value to the peoples of our region and urging us to strive for continuously higher levels of endeavor. As mentioned to the ECHO staff some weeks ago, there would be no greater recognition that they could pay to the memory of this outstanding regional civil servant than to work tirelessly to continue to provide the high standards of oversight which Rosemond demanded and which he himself exemplified. On a similar note, I hope that it will be possible for the relevant authorities to designate the ECHO building, the ECHO headquarters, not too far from here, as the Rosemond James and Gregory McAlpin building in commemoration of these two noble gentlemen who lost their lives in the active pursuit of their duties. However, it is not only as an official that so many of us at LIAT, and indeed elsewhere, have come to know and appreciate Rosemond. He will always be remembered for his serenity and humility, for his Christian virtues, and for so many of the other qualities that distinguished him and set him apart as a leader. I can truthfully say that in the 20 years or so that I have known Rosemond, I have never once heard him raise his voice or display any other outward sign of anger or aggravation. He was always respectful to everyone and distinguished himself by his humility and graciousness to all. His humility was made clear to me at a meeting that he and I had with Prime Minister Gonzales in St. Vincent a few years ago. At that meeting, Prime Minister Gonzales, himself an academic, distinguished academic, pointed out to me Rosemond's distinguished academic career. Rosemond was, in fact, a St. Lucia scholar, and I was speaking to his friend and brother, Ozzy Satney, last night, and he said that, you know, quite a few of the bigwigs in St. Lucia It was really Roseman helping them with their maths and their physics that probably allowed them to reach to where they are today. But though that type of thing never came from Roseman, and he was just so humble that it was only when the Prime Minister pointed it out that it became known to me. In fact, what came to me from the discussion with the Prime Minister was that the academics in the school that Roseman was at in the US, they themselves had recognized both his intellectual abilities and his leadership qualities, and had actually been in discussion with Prime Minister Gonzalez, saying basically, this is a distinguished son. That, you know, and Prime Minister Gonzalez was very aware of all his academic records and this type of thing. I have no hesitation in saying how sadly his sudden demise has affected me. Today actually was, in a way, the first day that I felt a sort of joy. When I parked my car, Bob Marley was singing Three Little Birds, and it just sort of lifted my spirit. And when I saw Father George, my good friend Father George, when I saw him go to Roseman's wife and daughter this morning, and he said something to them, and they both smiled, you know, and I knew that was what Roseman would have wanted, and it just made me feel very good. At the same time, we all rejoice in the memory of his time with us. We offer his dear wife, loving father, loving daughter, devoted family, friends and colleagues, our best wishes at this time. May his soul rest in peace.
Thank you for those tributes from Liat 1974 Limited. We now call on the Deputy Chairman of the Eastern Caribbean Civil Aviation Authority, ECA, and ECA staff to pay tribute, one after the other.
Brothers and sisters, our tribute to Brother Roseman James. In 1987, our beloved brother Roseman James began his career in aviation along with telecommunications and navigation aid technicians from Jamaica, St. Kitts, Antigua, St. Vincent, St. Lucia, Barbados, and Guyana, which was part of a training program of the Del Canada Caribbean Airports Project, a project to enhance civil aviation in the Caribbean. On December 1st, 1987, Brother James joined the OECS Air Radio, the entity mandated to provide technical support to all member states of the Organization of Eastern Caribbean States, OECS, at the airports in the sub-region, and which later became part of the OECS Directorate of Civil Aviation. Mr. James served in the OECS Air Radio Division as a technical specialist, assistant manager, and he was appointed manager of air navigation services in 2004, and later that year, he was appointed director of air navigation services. Following Mr. Wilson's appointment as the St. Lucia OECS representative to the International Civil Aviation Organization, our beloved Brother James was appointed Acting Director General of the Eastern Caribbean Civil Aviation Authority with effect from November 1st, 2004. He served the authority as Acting Director General until October 2007, when he was appointed Director General. During his tenure with the Directorate of Civil Aviation, Brother James excelled in performance of his duties. This is evidenced by the achievements he had made and the level of responsibility placed on him. He was considered a very fast learner, a strong believer in training and development, and encouraged his co-workers and peers to strive for excellence in the delivery of service. From early in his career, he appreciated the importance of excellent service. This belief became his driving force and was often evident in the performance of his duties throughout his career as technical specialist, manager of air navigation services, director of air navigation services, acting director general, and Director General. Brother James was involved in the transformation of the OACS Directorate of Civil Aviation to what the authority is today. The transformation from a Directorate of Civil Aviation to a Civil Aviation Authority. He played a critical role in the efforts of the ECCA towards successfully attaining U.S. FAA Category 1 status, an exercise involving the drafting of regulations and the coordination of various audits carried out by the U.S. FAA. His leadership stood out in the audit conducted by the International Civil Aviation Organization in 2007. Throughout his career, Sir James served with distinction and excellence. His love for civil aviation and his burning desire for its advancement and enhancement went beyond the boundaries of the OACS. He actively pursued these goals at the Caribbean level for the Regional Aviation Safety Oversight System, RASOS, which later became the Caribbean Aviation Safety and Oversight System, CASOS, and beyond the Caribbean at the level of the International Civil Aviation Organization. In all these four, his tenacity and determination was noticeable. He maintained excellent relationships with the other regional civil aviation authorities and was always vigilant in his search for benefit that these relationships could bring to the region. His relentless effort to bring trade into the region was remarkable. In 2009, a year affected by H1N1 virus and adverse economic conditions, he was instrumental in the organization of at least four training programs within the OECS to deal with this issue. His last training program was an ICAO-organized course on safety, state safety programs, a critical program for regulatory authorities and one that he felt would be of tremendous benefit to the OECS. Sir James departed this life doing what he dedicated his life to do, all in the service of better air safety within this region. He will be greatly missed by all of us at the Eastern Caribbean Civil Aviation Authority within the OECS, at the regional and international civil aviation communities. He served the aviation community with distinction and dedication. While today we mourn his passing, we resolve that his legacy will be a source of inspiration to us all as we continue to build the kind of civil aviation regulatory system that is so critical to the development of our region. The board, management, and staff of ECHA extend our deepest sympathy to his mother, Daphne, his widow, Dan Venter, and daughter, Zoe, his sister, Kimberly, and her family, his sisters-in-law, and their families, and all his relatives and friends. Brother James was a friend and a motivator. We want to say at this point, may his soul rest in peace.
Or else I pray.
Thank you to the ECHA staff and the deputy chairman. We now call on Mr. Andrew Satney to deliver the eulogy.
Sisters and brothers, good day. Preparing this eulogy was one of the most challenging tasks I've ever had. It was challenging because, of course, Roseman was my best friend. And, of course, I didn't know where to start. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to end this eulogy as well. And so when the inventor asked me to do it, I said, okay, I'll take on the task. Immediately, I contacted his many friends and relatives across the globe and said, guys, folks, I have a job here to do, and I need your input. And this eulogy reflects the impressions, the feelings, the opinions of his friends and relatives across the globe, from Africa, London, Bahamas, Cayman Islands, of course, the Caribbean and CARICOM, OECS and CARICOM countries. The events of this January 12th was interesting in that we came home and saw about what was happening on TV in Haiti. And immediately I said to my wife, you know, I think Roseman told us when we last saw each other on the 29th of December that he was going to Haiti early in January. I wonder if he's made that trip already. Not sure. We called his mobile, no answer. So we called his house in Antigua. And his wife said, yes, she's watching it as well. But the information there is that they are supposed to be safe. We will always remember Roseman. And as we bid him farewell, we remember him as an astute gentleman who has always calm, honest, patient, no fuss, and had an exceptional sense of humor. His patience was remarkable, and combined with his magnificent leadership, and we heard some of it today, he made the OECS, Eastern Caribbean Civil Aviation Authority, one of the most impressive institutions in the Caribbean region today. His colleagues at the ECCA and the many persons with whom he interacted throughout the world and the Caribbean region in particular, as he worked tirelessly in developing this institution, has had and will continue to have unending praise for him. A colleague at the Commonwealth Secretariat in London, on hearing of his passing, sent me these remarks. His untimely death has brought home to all of us the calamity and severity of the earthquake in Haiti and the fragility of life. It is a life cut short with much still to offer the region. As I know that you are close to his wife, please convey to her that from afar and right across the Commonwealth, our thoughts and prayers are with her and her daughter at this time. May Roseman rest in peace, satisfied in the knowledge that he contributed much to the development of the region during his life in pursuit of a job that he loved and for which he will long be remembered. I personally have had reasons to interact with the ECCA before this incident, and they have exhibited tremendous love for Roseman. Their hard work, prayers, commitment, and encouragement all contributed to our presence here today to bid Roseman farewell. We do not have the time today to tell you all what we'd like to tell you about Roseman. The staff of the ECCA and others never gave up on trying to find their dear friend, Roseman, and who was their leader as well, the Director General of the ECCA. It is their tenacious determination, the commitment to all members of their team that says, none of us will be left behind, that made them organize their own search and rescues, search and recovery program that made it possible for Roseman to be here with us to bid him farewell. The staff of the ECC has been there for Roseman's wife, his loving daughter Zoe, his loving 3-year-old daughter Zoe, his friends and family. There are no words of praise that will describe the character and the big heart of the staff of the ECC. They were all part of Roseman's family. And now I'd like to quote Mr. McPhill, a colleague and friend at the ECCA. He said, He says, his, Rosemond's, door was always open to the most junior of our ranks. His commitment to the advancement of civil aviation in general and air travel in particular. He was very respectful to all, and I have never seen him to show any demonstration of anger or raise his voice, even in situations where the best of us would have to bite our tongue and count to 100. Working with Rosemond was a very pleasant and rewarding experience. Always, and along with Greg and Craig, we shared a type of openness, friendship, teamwork, determination, camaraderie, and I have never experienced in any other work environment. That I have never experienced in any other work environment. It was like hanging out with friends all the time. He was a great friend to us all. And of course, I'd like to read another quote to you from one of the many friends of Rosemond. For those of us who don't know Rosemond, he is one of the best persons one could ever have as a friend. Of the highest integrity, a gentleman always. He strived on being honest. He was reliable, and above all, always humble, even in the midst of all his successes. Although he was younger than some of us, we all turned to him for leadership, song and sound advice on many matters, including tutoring some of us through high school and university. What can we say about Rosemond and the job he did? His commitment and his dedication. And his commitment and dedication to the advancement of civil aviation and to protect safety and civil aviation in general and air travel. Some of us travel the skies of the region quite frequently, and the work Rosemond and his team has done and is doing is extremely important for all of us. Rosemond was a family man. He was the perfect family man. He spared no effort in showing that characteristic to everyone. He was one of the most caring husbands, father, son, brother, uncle, cousin, son-in-law one can ever wish for. His dear wife, Den Vanter, says, he was my dream come true. I always felt that my prayers were answered, as I'd often asked to find someone who would provide me with love, respect, and stability. Our union was a gift from God, and giving birth to our beautiful baby Zoe was our total fulfillment. She is our pride and joy. The bond Rosemond and Zoe shared was always special. His after-work lime on Fridays was with Zoe and her friend Janai at the park, which has an ice capade, for ice cream. He was overall the ideal father. He was respectful, a good communicator, very spiritual, had a great sense of humor, and an excellent dancer. She says, I will miss our Saturday morning's dance to a variety of music. He was always very patient. He was my mentor, a caring and loving husband, and my best friend. He brought so much balance to my life, he could never be replaced. Rosemond never feared showing his emotions to anyone. On one such occasion, on the day when Zoe was born, he cried with joy with the good news to his mother Daphne and his sister Bernice. They were a bit confused, thinking that the cry was bad news, but that was how Rosemond showed his emotion, after he explained to them that he had a very beautiful baby girl. He expressed his love and care to all, no matter how busy he was. He was there for all. He will be truly missed. His dear and lovely daughter, 3-year-old daughter, may never understand why his dad not here to do all the fatherly things he did for her, such as praying with the family, going to church, taking her to the nursery, to school, and taking her to the park, just to name a few. Rosemond and Zoe said the Lord's Prayer together on mornings in the car on the way to work or the nursery or the school every day. His dear and loving wife has been missing him tremendously. There are no words that can be said to describe how she feels. She says, he's the love of my life, and the day he died, a part of me went with him. My life will never be the same again without him by my side. I ask all of you to pray to Vanter and Zoe so that they will get the strength and confidence with God's guidance to continue the life for Rosemond. Always remember them in your prayers. To Rosemond's mother, Daphne, he was the apple of her eye. Rosemond's untimely departure on this earth has been devastating to her. Her last birthday, which was about 2 weeks ago, she turned 70. And yes, she missed that first call she would get from her son, Rosemond, on every birthday she've had in the past. We will continue to pray for her and the other family members for the strength that they all need. Rosemond was a very strong Roman Catholic who practiced the religion. His belief in God and commitment to the church and its teachings made him an active participant in the church activities. Missing Sunday Mass was not an option. At the time of his passing, he was president of the Holy Family Catholic Men's Fellowship, where his leadership was highly appreciated. In fact, when we last saw each other on the 29th of December in St. Kitts, when he came over for the initialing of the OECS Economic Union, he said, one of the jobs I have to do for Father George is to put on database all members of the fellowship of the group so that he can access them whenever he needs them. Rosemond was also one of the most active members of the Optimist Club in Antigua, and we saw and we heard what he said today. He will be remembered for his insightful contributions to the club's new newsletter, Optics. His tireless work at the boys' training school, including instructing them on flying kites and other outreach programs. He made time to provide counseling to all members of the club. He encouraged professionalism to all club members. His contribution towards the development of the youth will be treasured. And yes, Rosemond, and we know his Tico, we call him Tico. You know, everybody in St. Lucia has a street name. He was a great cook. And one of his friends, all the way in Africa, said, please do not forget to mention his Saturday special, which was red bean soup with salt beef, which whenever some of us went through Antigua, we had to stop there to have lunch by Rosemond. And the way he prepared it was a science. It was nothing rushed. So we had to stay there by Rosemond for the day, wait till he served it around 2 o'clock. And I see John Lord laughing on the others, but that's serious because Rosemond worked this perfectly. One day, stopping at his house, I said, Rosemond, boy, I'm hungry. You say, okay, today's the soup. I say, but I'm hungry. He say, no, boy, you have to wait. Go and sleep, and then I'll wake you. This was the Saturday special for Rosemond. There is so much we can say about Rosemond and all that he means to us and all he did for us during his short stay on earth. We must be thankful to God that we had the special opportunity to share some of this time as an outstanding father, husband, son, brother, nephew, cousin, son-in-law, colleague, and best friend. As we bid him farewell, we know that God has welcomed him to a special place in heaven where he is now smiling down and saying these words. When tomorrow starts without me, please try to understand that an angel came and called my name and took me by the hand. The angel said my place was ready in heaven far above, and that I have to leave behind all those I dearly love. But when I walked through heaven's gates, I felt so much at home, for God looked down, smiled at me, and told me, welcome home. So when tomorrow starts without me, don't think we're far apart. For every time you think of me, I'm right there in your heart. Rosemond Winston Tico James, gone too soon.